You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to have Cal Garrison as my guest. Cal is a practicing astrologer with 40 years of experience. Excuse me. At present, she goes between casting horoscopes, writing books, and working as the personal assistant to Junvalo and Claudette Melchizedek. Excuse me. Editor-in-chief at Junvalo's online magazine, The Spirit of Matt, Cal is also a syndicated columnist for the Associated Press, an author with 6 books to her credit, including Slim Sperling's Universe, Ancient Science Rediscovered to Restore the Health of the Environment and Mankind, The Astrology of 2012 and Beyond, and The Wiser Field Guide to Ascension. She resides happily in the Red Rocks of Sedona, Arizona. So let's welcome Cal out of the rocks and onto the show.
Hey, hi,
Cal. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm glad. I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Yeah.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on the show because your books are so good that I literally couldn't put them down. Your writing style is just. I have yet to read anybody that's so relaxed and casual and yet informative and intelligent. Those two books, The Astrology of 2012 and Beyond and The Wiser Field Guide to Ascension, are just incredible.
Wow, you're so sweet to say that. I thank you for the compliments. I always try to write my books so that even your grandmother could understand them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it really makes any sense to have great information if nobody wants to read it. And that's
exactly.
A lot of the problem that I have with a lot of the stuff that's been written. So, yeah, no, thank you so much. The books are doing really well, and I hope they're helping people.
Good, wonderful. Well, they certainly clarified a lot of things for me. And in the astrology of 2012, you clarified some questions that I had personally about what's happening astrologically. Would you like to start out there and maybe share what's going on right now with the astrology?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, that's great. It's actually a perfect time to be talking about it because in the 2012 book, I mentioned how the things that are going on right now are affecting Mother Earth's horoscope. I mean, most people don't realize that, you know, we all are connected to the stars, and Mother Earth is as well. So she has a horoscope, just like any one of us does. And
And
at the moment, or for the past 2 years, what's been going on is the big outer planets, the ones that are responsible for the big shifts here on the planet, have been sitting or plopped in a conjunction with the main angles of her chart. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you consider her to be a living entity and we're speaking to her as if she was a person,
mm-hmm.
you would basically say that right now your whole world is getting rocked because Pluto is sitting right at the root of the world tree or the tree of life. And Pluto is the thing that, you know, he's the lord of hell, he rules over life and death, you know.
Mm.
He has all these really intense, almost mafiosi connotations.
Mm.
And he also happens to rule oil and plutocrats and big business and
wow.
And the bad guys or the, you know, the power possessors who don't have our best interests in mind. So here he is, sitting at the root of Mother Earth's horoscope, but all of a sudden we have this horrendous cataclysm, okay, in the form of this oil spill, which was not an accident, okay?
No.
And all of that, okay, is being exacerbated by the fact that right now Uranus, which is a very, very eccentric, unpredictable, catastrophic type of planet, sitting right on the point that rules the masses, which is known as the Aries point. Right now, Uranus is sitting at 0 degrees Aries. It's within orb of a 90-degree aspect of Pluto, which, of course, is bubbling up from inside the Earth.
Mm.
But the interesting thing with this is that whenever any planet hits the Aries point, that point rules all of humanity, okay? So anytime there is a transit to that point, absolutely everybody on the planet is going to be affected by it. Now, you see this happening now because, of course, the oil spill, you know, the Earth is unleashing her life's blood deep from within the bowels of the Earth. It was not an accident, you know, and now all of a sudden, everybody on the planet is being affected by it. Okay, the other thing that fascinates me about the Aries point is that it's also the alpha and omega point of the zodiac. So it's where Ouroboros begins to eat its tail, and that's where everything begins and ends.
Oh,
all right?
My.
Yeah. And simultaneous with this, you've got Saturn, who, of course, represents the old system, the old paradigm, the good old boys, the powers that be, grandpa, grandma, godmom, apple pie, and all of the values of the old paradigm. Okay,
right.
He is also the Grim Reaper. Okay, so he's coming along, and he's involved in this conversation with Pluto, which is exploding, and Uranus, which is affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's saying, well, I'm here, and all of my values and considerations and core beliefs have been in place for the last 13,000 years, and you've got another thing coming if you think you're going to turn me around. So this thing that's going on right now between the powers that be is very interesting because, of course, the Earth is exploding, and the old guard wants to hold on to their investment in it. And the new people are all set to go with all of these things that have already been invented and been in circulation for, you know, up to 100 years. Okay, these
exactly.
Free energy. Yeah, and nobody wants to listen to them.
Right.
Because the old system is so entrenched. So we're sitting in the middle of all of this right now. And the question is, and the question I think I asked in the 2012 book was, will we wake up or not? Because, you see, that is the other indication of this Uranus transit of the Aries point.
Mm.
I mean, among other things, Uranus has this catastrophic aspect, but he also rules consciousness shifts.
Mm.
Okay, so he is the planet that opens the space for human beings to be able to sort of think outside the box whenever it becomes necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And the scuttlebutt, you know, in spiritual circles for God knows how long is that, you know, this is going to be a consciousness shift and that the cataclysmic aspect of this shift we're about to go through can be lessened by the fact that humanity could possibly wake up and ascend to this higher level of consciousness. In enough time to cushion the blow, because there is going to be a physical pole shift, okay,
mm-hmm.
that coincides with this consciousness shift that everybody seems to be more receptive to, okay?
Right.
And, you know, the other thing with this, too, is that everybody says, well, we've had, you know, millennial fever before. Every 1,000 years, people think, you know, all kinds of stuff is going to happen.
Right.
It hasn't happened. But, I mean, if you understand how the cycles of time work, if you understand how the precession of the equinox works, you know, and if you know even a little tiny bit about the Mayan calendar, what you come to understand is that there are millions of cycles that are coming full circle right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if we've got this safe that has to, you know, all of the little gears in that lock mechanism are going to come into like a synchronous alignment simultaneously. And I sense that it's at that point that we're probably going to shift out of this reality and into the next one, because it's time. I mean, the Earth is like us. She evolves in cycles, and right now she's ready to sort of move up to the next level of evolution or consciousness. And so our,
like it's about time.
Well, you know, part of me feels, and I think a lot of people are feeling this way, that they wish it would hurry up.
Yes.
You know, because
yeah, I'm
really
with you on that one.
And a lot of us are feeling like, come on, you know, there's a part of me that feels like I've already made that leap because of the way things are happening in my life, you know. And it seems as if it's more possible for all of us now to understand that, you know, we need to be living as if we were creating this instead of trying to foist it off on the dark forces or the governments of the world or even Mother Nature. You know, that this is that the time has come for us to sort of wake up and be who we came to be, because we've lost our way.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it does seem as if we've kind of given our power away to the powers that be, and they've gladly accepted it and then taken the ball and run with it. So
yeah,
I guess this is that period of time. We call it the Kali Yuga, or the, you know, the we're in the sixth night now as far as the Mayan calendar goes. We're going to be moving into the seventh day, aren't we, in November?
Well, this is what they're saying, yes. And, I've been paying attention to a lot of different sources on this. I know that from an astrological perspective, there's a window of time that's going on right now that's really pretty volatile. And it's been going on since May, late April. That window of time actually closes in the fall of this year. And it's interesting, depending on which system of astrology you use, of course, the dates are going to be different. But my feeling about it is, if you're dealing with somebody who has a grip on the Mayan calendar, okay, and they're not just getting it from the information that has been made available to the public so far, then you might be getting a closer approximation of when this is going to happen. I mean, the elders say there's no way we can sidestep it. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people in spiritual circles are of the mind that you can turn anything around with the power of thought, but most of them have not achieved the level of mastery that's, you know, necessary to be able to do that.
Yes, I haven't seen it demonstrated myself.
No.
Either in my own life or in anyone else's. So I'm guessing that probably the bulk of humanity is in a similar place.
Yeah.
You know, with pockets of consciousness and pockets of darkness.
Yes. Yes, it's interesting. I just took a trip back to the East Coast, and whenever I leave Sedona, it's always interesting because it is a rarefied atmosphere, but the going out into the world and seeing the level of unconsciousness, even in the midst of this horrendous cataclysm down in the Gulf, people are just still, you know, plugged into trying to be Paris Hilton or whoever it is that they're trying to be, you know, and it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But that, too, is another issue, and people have been, you know, we've been sabotaged in so many ways. It's like these non-lethal chemical weapons that have been, you know, in use for such a long time have really taken their toll on our minds.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah.
I mean, there's a whole laundry list of things from aspartame to chemtrails to HARP to various frequency control devices that, you know, and let alone television. So, you know, we've been assaulted on so many different levels, and it just seems to be accelerating exponentially at this point.
Doesn't it feel that way to you? You know, it's
very
interesting. I think they've really jacked up all that stuff because, you know, I have like different things that I do to insulate myself against it, but the whole thing of being able to shield myself these days has been a totally different story. And I think that they're probably zapping us with some really exotic stuff.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Well, you just had this experience tonight of, you know, everything being tampered with and stuff like that. You know, that's
absolutely
going on all the time, yeah.
Yes, and somehow my phone was taken over, mm-hmm. you know, for about an hour. And, you know, it was definitely malicious from what I could tell. I mean, it wasn't any kind of freak thing. It was something that, you know, was intentional. And I certainly don't consider myself important enough to consider myself worthy of tampering with.
Me neither, yeah, no, I hear you.
You know, so it's kind of, it just seems kind of foolish, but indeed, there was something that went on. Of course, it could be part of all of the stuff that you mentioned in your books, which, you know, is going to happen. Now, you've been able to tap into so much indigenous wisdom through the Mayan elders, Andrew Nvalo, and so on and so forth, and I loved his work as well.
Yeah,
but he brings so much stuff forward as well that that seems to be the most accurate assessment of what we might be going through during the pole shift, because it appears that we will be going through one, right?
Yes, it's funny, the whole thing with that is that it's part of her process. It's part of Mother Earth's process. Mm-hmm. She goes through this every 13,000 years. All right, and that isn't just the lunatics and the psychics talking. That's you know, that's the scientists talking. And anybody who wants to jump down that rabbit hole can just look at Emmanuel Velikovsky's stuff and go from there.
Oh, right. This has all been documented and proven at the scientific levels.
And Trumbullo understands it and can speak about it really, really clearly. And the shift is actually something that, you know, is being portrayed to us through the Hollywood mechanism and through a lot of the fear-based stuff that comes out of some of the Christian traditions, as this apocalyptic event in which the sinners are weeded out and everybody else gets to, you know, go to paradise or be received into the loving arms of the, you know, benevolent God, whatever. and that's really all we've heard about it, you know, except that we've seen movies that have portrayed all of this cataclysmic stuff for us. So the fear thing is there, but there's no education going on. And when you really start digging around, and it doesn't take much, you know, you go to the indigenous elders because they are the ones that are coming forward with all of this information, and you find out that they have retained the records, okay, mm-hmm. of what happened to them during the last cataclysm. Because all of those records have been passed down, and they are stored in the crystal skulls, and they are stored in the oral traditions. You know, the people don't really understand what the crystal skulls are all about. And, you know, the ones that are floating around out there aren't necessarily the real thing. Let's put it that way.
Right, exactly. Now that you brought that up, would you like to talk a little bit about the idea of the 12 crystal skulls and when they come together, and there's a 13th that's on the etheric level or something?
Well, I think the 13th skull is actually exists on the physical level as well, and my understanding of the skulls was that each one holds 1,000 years worth of information.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And during the 1,000 years, that the information and the records were being written down, there was one person that was chosen to hold and keep those records, or one spiritual entity, and that was their job, was to keep track of everything. And then at a certain moment in time, what would happen is they were given a drug, and the drug induced death, but at that point their spirit slipped into the crystal, slipped into the skull.
Wow.
And so all of the information from that thousand-year period is stored within the spirit that has given up their life to enter into that skull and hold the information until this time.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 13 of these. We've collected 12. There is a 13th one from what I have heard. I haven't seen it yet, okay?
Okay.
But what happens is when they get them all together, they get the spirits come out and they download, okay,
oh,
the information that they have been keeping for so long. Now, the skulls that you see circulating around a lot of times, here in Sedona, people show up, oh, with, you know, come and see the crystal skull and have a little chat with it, you know. I don't know where they're getting these things. They've got nothing to do with the skulls that the Mayans are talking about.
Okay.
And there are some Mayans that say there's no such thing as the crystal skulls, but I have heard that that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are a lot of, some of the Mayan tribes say there's no such thing. And my the information that I've been receiving is saying that it's through Hunbat's men. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I have heard of him.
He is probably one of the most well-respected elders, and he's the one that's got all the stuff about the crystal skulls coming out now. So check in with him. And I'm not sure. I mean, of course, when you're talking about the elders, there's this thing, I have a tendency to fall into thinking that they're all these totally pure, you know, completely enlightened beings. But there are factions within the elder community, too, you know.
Right.
And the same types of things that you run into in any type of organization. So what I'm saying about the skulls, you're going to hear a lot of people disagree with that. But if you stay on the case and you keep doing your research, you're going to find out that what I'm saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
So that
it
information
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. These spirits.
It really
does,
because that coincides with the 13,000-year period.
Yes, that's right.
And the 26,000-year period and the, you know, 4.5 million-year period and all the other periods that were.
Yeah, it totally fits in.
Yeah, I never thought of that before. It's an amazing connection.
Well, the other thing is, too, I mean, as far as the elders are concerned, I mean, I don't want to create the impression that I've got a hotline to them or something. I work closely with Drumvalo, so I have a good source for information.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot that he is not permitted to share with people. And he's very good about, you know, keeping things that are meant to be kept secret to himself. But when the time comes, he is willing to share whatever it is that's passed on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, that we did the ancestors gathering here, and all of the elders came to tell us the time had come. And basically,
wow,
that it was our turn to wake up, and that they had done pretty much everything that they could do, and that they were just going to go back to from whence they came and start preparing themselves, and they just prayed that we would find a way to go into our hearts and wake up.
Yeah.
Now, there have been a few things that have come out that at one time they were planning to write a book and put all of this in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Wisers was going to publish that book. Then they realized they didn't have enough time. All right.
Oh.
Okay, so they were going to do a video, and then at a certain point Hollywood got involved. And we haven't heard anything from them since. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure what's up with that. You know, I hope at some point they do come out with something, but so far I haven't seen enough to make me feel like they're talking about anything that they weren't saying a year ago. But I do know that the window of time between May, they were predicting a pole shift on the 10th of May, or somewhere between the 10th and the 15th of May this year, and we got past that point.
Yes.
Okay, but the question is, even if it's 20 years from now, we still don't have a whole lot of time.
Right.
Okay, that's how I see it.
Right, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't appear that we have that much time. I mean, just if you just follow your gut feeling and look around and open your eyes, it's obvious that things are just literally unraveling at such a fast pace.
Yeah, it's really pretty wild.
You know, and it's got to happen. I mean, the thing is that the financial system has to collapse at some point. It's you know, not designed to last forever, and it's really a horrible travesty for the human race.
Oh, I know.
And it's just, there's so much corruption.
Well, this, oh, I know, this whole business, I mean, it, you know, you got to figure, it's got 13,000 years of momentum, okay,
yeah.
fueling
yeah.
all of this, and the belief that we have, I mean, the money thing is huge, and this, you know, this whole business of the collapse of the money god, I mean, 2008, when everybody got sold out in the fall of 2008.
Yeah.
Okay, since that time, basically, you know, they're all of the efforts that they've been putting out to see if they can fool us into thinking that this isn't the last gasp for money have been just this battle between the old guard and the new paradigm. They're trying to tell us that money is still working for us, and it's not working for anybody but them.
Okay, right, right. And the game board is tilted so far in their favor that the whole, all the game pieces are falling into their lap, and there's nothing left for anyone else.
No, I know, and it's fascinating, too, because if you just look at it that way, I mean, with everything sliding to the other end of the seesaw, you know, it's obvious that things have to flip.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, and this
absolutely.
Business... This business of the pole shift, of, you know, freaking out about the cataclysmic aspect of it is understandable. But if you know what the elders have said is that, you know, the people, more people die during a pole shift from fear than anything else. And the reason they're coming forward now is because they would like to help us understand what to do.
Yeah.
And the mechanics of a pole shift are pretty simple. And I think that if you're a spiritually oriented person, that it probably could be the most amazing ride of your life.
Oh, you absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you have written about this in your book, The Wiser Field Guide to Ascension, and in such great detail and clarity, and kind of in a sense of exploration about you know, about the possibilities and about what we know for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's really a must-read for everybody because it's like the handbook that could help us get through some very difficult moments when these things start to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go into some detail about what exactly,
sure.
you know, what the, you know, when there's a
what the sequence of events is? Yes,
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
this is very important stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Well. It's obvious now, you know, they say the first signs that the poles are about to shift are when the outer systems collapse. We've been watching that for 2 years
mm-hmm.
or more, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this is just, you know, the rundown that has been given to me or the way it's been explained to me. Approximately 5 or 6 hours before the poles actually begin to shift, the fourth and fifth dimension begin to bleed into the third dimension. And at that point, you begin to see strange objects, shapes that are different than anything that you've ever seen in this reality. And their colors are very different, too. Now, when you begin to see these shapes floating around, that's a sign that the magnetic field is just about to hit 0 point. Okay. And because of that, you're going to start to feel really strange, all right? Very lightheaded, very disoriented. There is something that happens at this stage of the process because really what's going on is the magnetics begin to disappear here. Our memories disappear.
It gets wiped out, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Because everything, even our minds are polarized. And everything in this
right.
reality, in this dimension, is held in place through polarity. When things move into unity, polarity disappears. And so there is a lot of really strange stuff that goes on during this six-hour period. So you will start to notice if you're in a crowd, for instance, people start acting really crazy. the mechanical devices that we use to get around in and all of the things that we use to do anything with are going to break down. Mm-hmm. And they actually start to disintegrate during this period of time because, of course, the thought forms that hold them in place are magnetic in nature.
Ah.
All right?
All
right. And it's almost as if you're erasing the magnetics on a CD.
Right, right.
All right. So the instructions from the elders are to go inside, close the curtain, go into your heart, and pray. Okay? And to ride this out from an inner place. Okay? You're going to be safer out in nature than you would be in your home because as this window of time, this 6-hour window progresses, everything that is artificial is going to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
So the walls of your homes, you know, no matter where you are, unless you're out in the middle of the Grand Canyon, everything's going to disappear. Anything that is not intrinsic to the earth. Now, when this 6-hour window is over, that means that the magnetic poles have started to wander. And they're searching for their new home. And there is a sequence of events that happens as soon as that process begins where you start to notice that you're surrounded by this red fog. Okay, but it's not like any kind of fog you've ever seen. It's like you're breathing it. You are it. And then what happens is every color of the spectrum begins to filter through your system. All right? And you go to ultraviolet, and all of a sudden you end up in this clear, crystalline reality, okay, that everything that you're surrounded by appears to be made of, like, clear glass.
Wow.
And it starts to shimmer like gold, and you begin to see through things, okay?
All right.
But at that point, okay, or at some point after you have that experience, everything goes completely black. Okay, so my sense is that the point at which we go into what they call the 3 days of darkness is the point at which we make our ascension. I am not sure about that, but if I try to think it through logically, this seems as if, because as soon as it goes into blackness, and I'm talking total blackness, you won't even be able to see your hand in front of your face.
Wow.
You're going to be in the great void, or what's known as the great void, or the space that separates one dimension from another. And during that time, it's like you're in the ultimate sensory deprivation chamber, and you're going to be just floating in nothingness, and you're probably going to be doing a lot of dreaming during this time. And I think that if the fear factor is subtracted from the experience, it probably is going to be one of the most incredible experiences of your entire life.
Wow.
But after this 3 days of darkness, and the length of time varies, okay, the shortest time is 2.5 days, and I think the longest time is close to 4 days.
Okay.
But as soon as you move, as soon as we make it through the void, all of a sudden, boom, there's this blinding flash of light. It's like everything they describe in all the Rapture movies and all of that kind of crazy stuff. But you find yourself on this other level. Now, what it looks like, I have no idea, because that's all going to be determined by where you're at prior to.
Right.
Okay? And if you can retain your memories through this experience, can you imagine what it might be like to have no memory of what anything is, what your hand is, what the doorknob is, no definition for any of those things.
Wow.
And
that's kind of how we come in, isn't it, with a veil of forgetfulness.
Well, you know, actually, you know, it's funny, I never thought of that. Yeah, you're right. No, we're going to end up in this place. Now, they say that, you know, if you are familiar with the Merkaba teachings, the Merkaba meditation, that particular practice is probably one of the best ways to preserve your memory during this experience.
Hmm.
Okay, because of, you know, the Merkaba is basically the light body vehicle, and it is it vibrates in resonance with the creation blueprint. Okay. Mm. Everybody has a Merkaba.
And it takes us into sacred geometry.
Yes. Yes. Well, everything is sacred geometry.
Right.
But
right.
the human, your personal connection, okay, to your light body vehicle,
mm-hmm.
okay, is probably going to be the best way for you to be able to preserve your memories so that when you do get through this experience, you're on the other side and you say, oh, I know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I know what to do now. People who go through this experience, and this is another thing, everybody's going to get to go through,
mm-hmm.
all right? Everybody's going to get to go through this experience, but when they get into this next dimension, the problem is that the laws are a little different there than they are here.
Mm.
And everything is vibrating in unity and oneness and love, and everything you think about manifests instantaneously. So if you're thinking great things and beautiful things, you get to the other side and you realize, oh my God, I could imagine, Elvis, he'd probably show up. All right.
Right.
But if people are going through and they're retaining, you know, and they're still functioning from fear or like what's going on, or they're using the same principles that got them by here, they're not going to survive too long on that level of experience.
It does make sense that if a person makes it to that point and they've been living mainly from ego or vanity, that there would be a very difficult time with manifesting one's thoughts.
Oh, exactly.
You'd end up kicking yourself out of that particular level, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yes, because
and that's
a
big problem.
It's a simple law of physics: higher frequencies displace lower frequencies. Okay, you get into a higher vibrational state, and if you can't operate at that level of experience.
Right.
You're not going to be able to stay there. And,
right.
you know, as far as the mechanics of where you go, I mean, I'm not really sure what happens
right.
after that.
Yeah.
I haven't got it all figured out.
Well, of course, that's the great mystery of life is finding out, you know, we're here at this time.
Yeah.
And we must have chosen at a soul level prior to incarnating to be here at this time for this reason. I can't imagine it being any other way.
No, exactly.
You said that a lot of people will play around with, you know, first of all, they start experimenting with fixing their illnesses and their bodies and maybe, having some fun with the physical, the appearance of their physical appearance.
Yes.
And then that gets old hat, and then you realize that you can move on to other things and create who knows anything.
Whole new systems of being. I mean, we get to experiment with, you know, what the truth has been about us all along, which is that we can create anything we want. And we've been deluded into believing that that isn't the way it is, you know. So
absolutely.
And I do know that in the beginning, the first thing people do is like, you know, I know one thing, you know, as soon as I get up there, I'm going to make myself look like Sophia Loren. And then, you know, once that gets to be old hat, you know, who knows? Maybe
right.
I'll find, you know, it's as if we're all going to graduate school. And once we get there, we're going to have an opportunity to get our fifth dimensional PhD. And learn whatever it is that we're supposed to be learning there. I find it interesting that we're talking about how to learn to live in the fourth and fifth dimension, and we don't even know how to live in this one.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
you're so right.
Whole deal is confusing to me, Lance, because because I think that, you know, maybe it would help us now to get back to something real, you know, in terms of our own lives, and to unplug and to slow down and to look at who we are really here. Because when you subtract the techno culture that we've plasticized and sort of laminated over the things that are really true about us, there is life is very simple. know, and there is a part of me, you know, people say they're all worried about living in times of scarcity and stuff like that. You know, I live out in the desert right now. There's nothing I'd like better than to hang out over a big pot of boiling herbs and stuff and just keep the fire going. You know what I mean? Instead of dealing with all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've just lost touch, you know, especially the people that have migrated to the cities.
And
we've just lost touch with reality and with nature and with the truth of ourselves. And it's really difficult for people to maintain a life that has integrity and honesty and truthfulness, compassion and love.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the qualities that it seems that we're going to need to develop in order to make this, to walk across that bridge, the rainbow bridge.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. And it's perfect that you're saying this because, of course, you know, this, we talk about the heart a lot when we talk about the ascension process. I mean, if you've been raised in the Catholic Church, I don't know how many icons they have of Jesus holding this heart. Okay, and the way the symbolism has been interpreted over time has sort of skewed it a little bit, but, you know, originally that imagery had to do with what's inside all of us, and the consciousness of the heart is a really interesting thing. It's not just a metaphor for something. That the actual physical organ of the heart holds a level of consciousness that is that was a precursor to the polarity that is intrinsic to our minds. And I think most people don't realize this, but, you know, the scientists have figured out that the heart starts beating before the brain is even formed. Think about that.
Yeah.
It has its own consciousness.
Yeah, isn't there a literal mind of the heart, and then there's an inner, some kind of inner chamber that you can, not everybody can seem to find, but spiritual adepts seem to be able to go within to that place.
Well, you know, everybody can.
This
is what's interesting. If the wish and the desire to sort of reconnect with that aspect of yourself is there, you can go there. And it is interesting because once you find your way into that space, the ability to create becomes second nature. It's natural. You can create anything instantaneously from that place. And so the point of being in that space for us now is important because it is only from that place that we can create a unified vision of whatever it is that we would like to develop here on this planet. You know, and it is also the connecting point that connects you to absolutely every level of creation. Okay, so that you can access any dimension from that place. It's almost it's a huge, the heart is a huge terminal, and there's a reason why we've deified that little Valentine. You know, And the thing is that it's become this plastic thing to us, and we've forgotten that it is real, and all the stuff that we associate with it is something that we can actually experience if we can find a way to go into that place. And one of the reasons I'm kind of hooked on Drumvelo's work is because he has the clearest instructions for entering that space. And he's brought more people into that place than anybody that I have ever had a chance to meet.
He's amazing, and I absolutely love all of his videos and his books and everything else. And you do bring some of those processes into
processes
that you bring forth to do the Ascension book.
I think I included the instructions for going into the heart in the Ascension book. It's very, very easy to do once you just get over, you know, feeling like, oh my God, I won't be able to do this. Very, very easy
to do.
Right. And I've been doing that work. I've been doing that work for as long as Trumbelow's been teaching it. And and I can tell you this. I mean, I'm not one of these people that has technicolor experiences when I meditate. But I have been able to resolve a million things, okay, that it would have been very, very difficult for me to resolve in my own life. You know, emotional stuff, spiritual stuff, hurt, pain, all of that stuff. But at this point, I'm realizing that, you know, in spite of the fact that, you know, I'm doing everything that I can to clear my own issues, I want to be able to get to the point where I'm actually able to do something for the planet, you know.
Right.
I would like to get big enough to be able to do that. And I wish everybody could go into this place and try to figure out how to do these things. Because whatever you manifest from the heart doesn't come out split down the middle the way it does with the mind. It comes out with a totally unified intent.
Mm.
And
it's not polarized.
No. The heart is not polarized.
No.
I don't know what else I was going to say there. I'm just thinking the other thing with the heart is to just keep going. Keep making the effort to go in, because it's kind of like putting a drop of water in a bucket. Eventually, you make it, and even though sometimes you may feel like you're not there, you watch and see how it changes your outer life.
Oh yeah.
And this is what's kept me going all these years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I get like clear lot of bells and whistles and clear signs when I go in. A lot of times it's just pure imagery, but then when I come out and I live my life and I watch how things happen, I begin to see that somehow or other, whatever I'm doing in there is having an effect on my experience out here, and everything seems to be going just fine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And doesn't it seem that it gets more synchronistic and it gets easier and better in some ways?
Oh, it's so funny. It's like you can, it's like you don't have to put all the effort into things anymore.
Right.
It's so funny. I had this experience this morning where I was kind of up and kind of just wandering around. And it was too early. Nobody else was up. And I stumbled across this guy. You know, this is about 8, it was only 8 o'clock in the morning. I stumbled across this guy selling crystals for practically nothing. I got a $2,000 crystal for $100, you know, and it was just the one I was looking for. So, and that kind of stuff keeps happening. But it's even more like, you know, you get hungry and somebody shows up at the door with a burrito or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff is happening to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
And then conversely, those people who are still kind of snoozing, or they've got the snooze alarm on, they've decided to wake up a little later than the rest, seem to be having a great deal of difficulty navigating the waters.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
I see it so much.
Even within my own family.
Really?
You know, yeah.
You mentioned that in the book, I think, that your family thinks you're kind of a baddie.
Well, you know, I guess everybody's got, you know, I'm the elf of the family, or the black sheep, or whatever you want to call it. But they love me, you know. They love me in spite of myself.
Good.
But the whole thing with the people that are just a little slow coming around, you know, what that does for me is that inspires me in a way, because I think all of us hold the position of being the 100th monkey.
Yeah.
And that, you know, would it be possible that something I do someday inside myself might make it possible for 100 other people to wake up? I really don't know how that works. There is another thing that I'm noticing, Lance, when I go out and about and just do my errands and talk to people. You know, some of the service people that are working and taking care of me during the day, when I talk to them, I see lights everywhere, you know, and sometimes you know, you really get the feeling that this wave of energy is sort of coming up through the grassroots, because I am often surprised by how wonderful people can be.
Yeah, and how open
they are. When you are open with them and when you share yourself with them, it's amazing the kind of response you get. And even if you don't get a response, there is something in that person that is being impacted by you, your presence, your field, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another really good reason to do the Merkaba, because when people get into your energy field, they're automatically uplifted by that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And the heart stuff is, you know, but even if you don't know the Merkaba, I'll tell you what, if you're in your heart, you're all set, because that's the vibration that Mother Earth is moving to.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves us. You know, we're her children. She loves us like she's our mom, and if we're resonating on that heart frequency when this shift occurs, I think it's going to be okay. I think the heart is the key to this whole thing. And I would encourage anybody that's listening to look into that work. I really, really think no matter who you are, that it's probably the most beneficial thing that you can find out about in these times. I really do.
Our mind is out to get us, and eventually it will, you know, because it's stuck on stupid. You know,
it really is.
It's in duality, and it can't seem to think of anything but right and wrong and good and bad and you know, left and right and so on and so forth.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know that reality is not like that, and that to shift our reality, we need to be thinking outside of the duality that limits us.
Oh, yes.
Heart is just such a tremendous, it's so different to really care about something.
Oh, yeah.
I find that my little dog teaches me more about love than any of the relationships that I've had over the last 59 years.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, the dogs are, that's what they come to teach us.
Oh, my God. It's just pure unconditional love.
Yeah.
And I keep bird food out for the birds and hummingbird food. And I have this wonderful show that I get to watch every day from my dad.
Oh, my God, we should hook up. I do the same thing.
I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah.
And the birds are just so amazing. I mean, they're just, oh, gosh. It puts you right into your heart. You just can't help but love them.
I know.
And,
it's true.
You know, and you wonder how people can, you know, be so hard-hearted that they can treat each other and animals in such horrible ways. And we're getting to see that really kind of metaphorically and personified by the oil spill now.
Oh, I know. It's so hard.
It really is.
It's so hard to even to think about that, and then to have to see the photographs of those creatures.
And yet, you know, it just seems that this is all what we need to have to shock us into awakening. And I don't know what else it's going to take, but it doesn't seem that even the oil spill is doing it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I kind of see the oil spill as the thing that's going to bring us all together.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a conversation with Drumvalo the other day, and he said something like, I'm not worried about the oil spill.
Right.
He said, we have, it's the least of our worries right now,
right.
If people only knew. And and he said, try to imagine what a pole shift would be like. You know, when you think in terms of cataclysm, this stuff is in the ocean. It's, you know, we don't have to see it. But when you start seeing the mountains move and things shift. I mean, have you ever been in an earthquake?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen how the land looks like it's moving like the ocean? It's really freaky.
It feels like a hurricane.
Oh. Okay.
Well, you know, we have actually run out of time. I could talk to you.
You're so great. Yeah, no, I love talking to you too.
Cal, you're terrific.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Before we go, would you please tell people where they can find your work and, you know, your books and so on and so forth? Because I would recommend them for everybody, you know.
Yeah, The Astrology of 2012 and The Wiser's Field Guide to Ascension you can pick up at any good bookstore. And they're also available online on Amazon. As far as getting in touch with me is concerned, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't have a website. My email's real simple. It's cal.garrison@gmail.com. And
okay.
You can find my articles on Drumvelo's website, The Spirit of Mott, and that is www.spiritofmott.com. That's actually really good place to stay abreast of what's going on.
Yeah, it is a beautiful site. I don't know if you are responsible for it, but I subscribe to it so that I get updates whenever there's something new. And it's just a wonderful place to visit and read up on what's going on. And it's a place with integrity, and I highly recommend that as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, Cal, it's been a delight talking to you.
Yeah.
I would love to have you back again, and if the pole shift hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Just let's have updates now and then or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you too, Lance. You have a great night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.